Yeah, let's see how you do under pressure. Oh, yeah, I've been wanted this forever. I've been in the field with whatever they throw at me. Brush it off, pick myself up, moving on to the better. Okay. Hey. Ain't no errors, baby, it's a new era. I wake up early feeling rich like I'm Kesha. I get to the paper, boy. Extra, extra. Work with me, you know that I got it. Come with me, let's take a trip to the islands. We up on a jet, we'll do more than just fly on it. Stand on that hill, you gon' die on it. Boom, boom. Baby, I'm not one of them, you should try on it. Miss me with all that I'm on to the next. Yeah. Whip this up, I send you back to your ex. But good luck with that, this is big as it gets. Hey, let's see how you do under pressure. Yeah. Let's see how you do under pressure. Give him a name to remember. Okay. They don't let me shoot a whole clip. Firepower in this coalition. We just turned the field into a demolition. It was desolate, but I had premonition. I was training for war every exhibition. Every extra mission, every enemy listening. Get off my dick, I got bad intentions. Make it right every wrong and I'm back with a vengeance. I show you the ropes. Beast in my town, I can show you the coast. Up in the shots if they wanted to smoke. If you know, then you know. Suited up, my whole team do the same. Don't you forget who created the game. Ready for war, I was born with grenades. The trenches where soldiers are made. Let's see how you do under pressure. Let's see how you do under pressure. Give them a name to remember. Hey, let's see how you do under pressure. Let's see how you do under pressure. A moment can live on forever. Let's see how you do under pressure. Let's see how you do under pressure. Give them a name to remember.
Back at it again.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
All your redemption podcast.
The live session. Earn your job. Earn the job, right? That's what we on.
Earn the job.
Yeah. 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 Hey. I enjoy all of the topics. You know what I'm saying? Like, because they come from, you know, a real place. But like this one, I feel like, you know what I'm saying? It just hit different because, I mean, we're going to get into it, but it took time to be able to kind of speak through this. You know what I mean? Like you got to walk through the fire to kind of be able to kind of understand some of this stuff and be able to help and articulate it and break it down for others. So, you know, you know, I felt good about it. I'm looking forward to getting into it. Like we always tell everybody, the full episode, it dropped on YouTube. We got the full episode on there today. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna break it down. We're gonna answer some questions. We're gonna get into it. Hey, and excuse my voice.
Yeah, tell them about that a little bit because you still.
Yeah, man. Hey, that a little bit. Yeah, no, I'm under the weather. I've been sick, man, the last few days. But look, I got my tea and I got my apple juice. It's crazy. Look. But you know what? We ain't gonna make no excuses. I don't know nothing about that. But I'm good though. I'm getting a little bit better. So let's rock out, bro. Let's get into it, man.
So this is one of those other moments where we doing things because they have to be done. Pretty much because it's bigger than us, right?
Man, it's way bigger than us, bro.
Yeah. So let's get into the IOU moment. Give me a second here.
Okay.
Because you know how you be with these. So I gotta make sure it's right. All right, let's get it. So you wanna go first?
Yeah, I'll take off. So
all right.
So my IU moment, I switched it up a little bit. Because I understand there's powerful women out there, and I've been motivated by a lot of powerful women in my life. So I like to reach from different bags. So with this one, it says, don't sit down and wait for the opportunity to come. Get up and make them, by Madam C.J. Walker. It kind of goes, you know, into the same thing what we always talk about. Nobody's coming to save you. You got to save yourself. You understand what I'm saying? Money trees, like money trees. Money is not just from the fall from trees. Nobody going to show up to your door with a Brinks truck. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes in most of our cases and people that's like us, we got to make those opportunities. We got to kick down those doors. When they don't give us a seat at the table, we got to create a table for ourselves. And that's got to be the mindset. You know what I'm saying? I've done that. I've caught myself waiting for this or waiting for that. Yeah. And, you know, but, you know, creating those opportunities is something that hits different. And, you know, just want people to shift their minds towards that. Don't sit back and wait. Go create your own. You understand what I'm saying? Because that time that you're sitting back and waiting for may not ever come. That thing you waiting on may not ever come. So you got to get out and get it yourself. You know what I'm saying? Make the table. Make your own table. Build your own chairs at that table. Put your own people in position to sit at that table with you. You understand what I'm saying? So Madam C.J. Walker, you know, that she was spot on with that. It is crazy how, and that's how I know that, you know what I'm saying, we moving in the way God wants us to move, bro, because sometimes a lot of stuff come off our heads, right? And then sometimes I might be reading something or doing some research on something, and somebody 50, 60 years ago was saying kind of the same thing, thinking the same way we thinking naturally, and I had never saw that before or something. It's just, it really is. It's not a cliche, but they say great minds think alike. That's a real thing, bro. So don't sit down and wait. You know what I'm saying? Go get your opportunity. That's what I owe to people this week.
Yes, sir. And along the same lines, my IOU moment is this. The best time to start is now. When I remember when I was camping and one individual came to me and he said, what do you do? Everybody asks, why? They always ask us, what do we do? Right?
Man, that's question number one.
So I told him, and then based on what I told him, he said, okay, so you run your own business, right? And I was like, at the time, I was like, no, I don't. But I didn't really give a good excuse. Like, you know,
yeah,
best time to start is now. And if you think about it, everybody says that about anything. If somebody a real go-getter and you're speaking to them, they're going to tell you that, because no matter if you're trying to go back to school, no matter if you're trying to buy your first home, no matter if you're trying to take your first trip, no matter if you're trying to move out the city that you're in, start a new life, the best time to start is now. And I'm trying to drill this into people's heads because I'm tired of everybody sitting around waiting. How much longer are you going to sit around waiting? Does waiting increase your chances of making a better life for yourself? Does waiting like eliminate some of the obstacles that you're going through right now? What does waiting ever do for you? What does it do? It doesn't do anything. So why do we continue to wait to do things? You're only going to know how to attack the problem until you try to do whatever it is you're thinking about doing. Give it a try. And if you don't succeed at that first time, you'll at least know what you need to do to do it over. And when you do it the second time, you're probably going to succeed. But if you're just sitting and waiting, you're never going to get to the opportunity to experience whatever it is you're trying to do. So I don't wait on things. I've never waited on anything. Everybody needs to stop waiting. The best time to start is now. That's what I can tell you.
Yeah, and I'm going to keep it real short and simple. You know me, man. I don't know what you're waiting on. I don't know what you're waiting on. Like you got some type of promise over your life. Like you just, you know, like you got guaranteed 6 more months. Like, you know, you finna, you know what I'm saying? Ain't no better time than the present. So you absolutely right on that. And, you know, I've checked myself on that, bro. I've checked myself at times when I find myself talking about something too much or something. You know what I mean? Like,
that ain't my
style. And people are like, what you mean? I'm like, I'm not a talker. I usually do something. And I done said this about 3 times already. That's not like me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I check myself all the time. If I, you got to be able to check yourself. You got to have people around you that can check you. So that's what's up, bro. I, you know me. I live in the present. Conor McGregor, before we move forward, Conor McGregor said something earlier. I was watching this document on him. Like, what did he say? What did he say? He said the future creates, the future makes you anxious, and the past makes you depressed. And then he was just talking about how much the present is, like what that does for a person. And that actually makes sense. And I know I'm kind of screwed the wordy up a little bit, but you kind of get the concept of it because that is the truth. So do what you can do with the present, because that's the only time you got guaranteed to you right now. And that's the time that's right now. So
let's go.
Let's get it.
Earn the job, man.
Yeah, yeah.
What do people think about that last episode? Earn the job. It, not even the last episode. Let's just talk about this session 10 of this live stream. What we talking about? Earning the job.
I think that, you know, earning the job, man, it's right there. Start off by the word earn, right? And because most of us have to really, not all of us, but most of us have to earn it, and you got to earn it in a very aggressive way, and like almost perfect, literally with little room for error. You know what I'm saying? Especially for black and brown.
We really gotta
hit home runs in these to get these jobs, get these good paying jobs, these high value, you know, value jobs. They just don't fall in our laps.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The majority, and I'm talking about the majority of us, are not in a position where, you know, my dad got me on here, my uncle got me on there, or, you know, or things like that. No, if we want something big, we want something different for ourselves, we got to earn it. And it's going to take some of these practices that we talked about in order to earn a job. You know what I'm saying? We're going to go through it. We're going to break it down. We're going to talk about resumes. We're going to talk about being on time for the job. And we're going to talk about the interview. What Auntie Georgie says, she says she loved it. The playbook, preparing to get the job. Exactly. It is like a playbook. It really is. It really is. After you do it and you kind of master it, you can kind of see it. Like I know how to say certain things to get the type of reaction that I'm looking for. It's like a setup, which might set up for the next one, for the next response, to the next response in their interviews. You know the difference between a good interview and a bad interview. Okay, like for instance, right now, I could tell people, and we're going to get into the interview, but matter of fact, I'm going to say that to later, bro. I'm going to say that to later, because this is one of the ones we could talk about till tomorrow, and we don't got till tomorrow to talk about it. So I want to make sure we get some questions answered, make sure we started from the top. And I'm going to let you start with the resume.
I want to make sure that people actually understand what we're trying to say. And this content that we put out about earning a job is actually helping a lot of people if they just use the tools that's in there.
Yes.
So when we talk about the actual resume, you got to listen to what we're trying to tell you about the resume. Because again, my goal, your goal, the goal of this podcast is to help people change their lives. So if you, anybody who just, maybe you stuck in the career that you're in right now. Maybe that you the type of person that feel like you don't have a resume and you don't know where to start. There's all type of things you can do to your resume to help yourself stand out and be a candidate for a job. So let's give you an example. The resume. If you're a person that say to yourself that I never in my life, I don't really have a resume. Like I don't have any jobs I can put on there. Or the jobs I have, I don't know, you know, what I would say on my resume about those different jobs. Well, the thing is, let's just take, for example, maybe you worked at McDonald's, right? And maybe you was a, I don't know what they call it, but maybe you was the person on the fries. Okay. I'm going to break down how I would word out my resume for a fry cook at McDonald's. Okay. So I'm going to first go on my resume. I'm going to put my title on there and I'm going to give you the dates. I don't get too specific on like the actual start date, just month and year is fine. That's all you really need, okay? But as far as the points, you always want to list at least five. And I like to do bullet points. You always want to list at least five bullet points. So I'm going to tell you off the dome. This is what I would do. Oversee the operations of the food handling for a particular area in the department. That's number one. I'm not just gonna make it so simple minded that I was a fry cook. I'm not gonna say that. Okay. So I overseen the food operations for whatever department you're in, right? The second thing, managed floor personnel in the absence of the supervisor. You can say that, okay? Because you want to make sure that you let it be known that you a leader, right? Okay. Third thing, exhibited excellent customer service to not only in-house customers but for drive-up orders. Because you gotta understand that it's just not, now people are not just coming into the brick and mortar. There are also people who are just ordering their food from the app, and you got to take their food to them, right? So you got to show great customer service, not only inside of McDonald's, but outside the boundaries as well, okay? Next thing, I would say something like going above and beyond the average work duties, doing other roles as needed. If you understand the business of the fast food restaurant, you're typically not just going to be a fry cook. You're probably going to be doing a lot of other things. So you got to be able to let the potential employer know that you're not just based on just job titles. You're not the person that say, oh, that ain't in my job title, so I can't do that. No, you're a team player. So you got to make sure that's known. The last thing I would touch on is the fact that you understand how to get things done without being told, meaning you show initiatives for things, okay? So I'll give you another example, okay? Able to digress situations, right? So when I say digress situations, so some situations in the fast food restaurant, when you say digress and progress, right? So progress means you're moving operations forward and you're trying to get certain things done. But sometimes you have to slow things down because fast food is fast moving pace, right? And a lot of times in that industry, you're moving so fast that you're forgetting orders, you're forgetting to do this, you ain't put somebody barbecue sauce in the bath. So you got to make sure you let the people know that you understand how to maintain in the fast-paced environment, slow down things to make sure you have quality control. So you see how I just broke down like a very, yeah, like you wouldn't even think it's nothing to talk about, but I just gave you four or five points that you could say off that and spruce up your resume. And now guess what? You're not that, what I just gave you, you're no longer in the category of looking for a fast food job. You could get, based on what I just said, you can work anywhere. And that's how you got to do that.
No. And I mean, that's that breakdown right there. Right. You said, I say this a lot. It's a million, you know, it was probably over a million words out there that you could use to describe things. Like you said, don't just say, man, I'm the guy on fries. You know what I mean? Kind of.
Yeah.
Because
you can't say that. Yeah.
Because I mean, if you say what you just said and they break it down like that as a hiring manager, what that's going to show me is that, yeah, I understand where you're at and what you're doing right now, but you could do a whole lot more.
Yeah.
I'm going to offer you something else because you're thinking way outside of the box. You know what I mean? You may have been doing this just for, you know, to get you by, but I see something in somebody that's talking like that. You know what I mean? And able to break that down. So, you know, I think that's something good for people to chew on because they kind of downplayed it, their talents and skills. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Bro, I remember before I take off on this resume stuff, I remember talking about like skills. I remember I came back home one time and, I didn't know everything Nub know how to do. Like, I didn't know Nub know how to, like, drive some of these big old, like, cranes and stuff like that. Until he told me, pull up on him one time, you know, I forgot what it was, get his key for something, like his house key or something. I pulled up on him. He pulled up in his big old thing. I say, dude, I had no idea you got these type of skills. I thought you was driving like a regular, like, little forklift. He was like, no, I'll try this, I'll try that, I know how to do this, that. I say, man, it's so many people out there that are just pay crazy amount of money for you to drive stuff like that. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just to drive it.
You know what I'm saying? Just, but, you know, I just didn't know that. You know what I mean? And he's so humble, he don't talk about everything he know how to do. But when I seen it, I'm like, dog, I wouldn't know where to how to even start that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But he was whipping it. You know what I'm saying? So what I would say is, when I talked about a resume, we've kind of talked about it before. It's different parts in the resume. I would say, depending on what the resume is, make it, like I said before, one pager, two page max. And I'm just speaking perspective from a hiring manager. I've been a hiring manager in several different roles. And I'm saying from a hiring manager's position. So I've sat on both sides of the table. I've applied for the jobs, and I've also been the guy making the decisions to get people the jobs. And hiring managers don't have a lot of time. They do not have a lot of time. So that's what I'm saying. It's not that you don't have the skill. You don't want to short yourself, but they just don't have a lot of time. They have 50, 60 resumes to look at. Make sure that, you know what I mean, you could try to put everything on there that you can that's tailored towards the job that you are applying for. So if you have a wide variety of skill sets, you know, maybe for this specific job, you putting things that's tailored towards the job you want. And then, you know, most companies give you the blueprint of what they're looking for. They give you the answer. It's an open book test. Making sure that you connect the dots with that resume. Make sure that that it's formatted well, that it's easy to read, and they're able to kind of track your progress over time. There's no large gaps in employment history, things of that nature. Those are things that usually kind of turn off a hiring manager. Because you gotta nail the resume to get you in the door. So we're not even on the interview yet. You know what I mean? The resume is what's going to get you there. So hold on, Auntie Georgie said this, and I know you're pretty good at them cover letters too. Said if you do a cover letter, is it still necessary to do an introductory paragraph on the resume?
So I would say that you have to think about it like this. Your resume is your first ticket. Like that's like when you go on the airplane, okay? The first thing you're going to get is your boarding pass, right? If you got a stop somewhere, that means you're going to have two different tickets. You're going to have two different boarding passes, right? One is going to be for the one you currently at, and the other is going to be for your second leg, right? The first one, I say, is your resume. You're not even going to see that second ticket, that second boarding pass, if you don't make it to your first one. Right. If you don't make it through your first one, you're not seeing that second one. So what I'm saying is your cover letter ain't going to be seen. Like there, and I'm sure there are some people out there that might, because cover letters are so scarce, if you see it, they might be like, let me read this cover letter before I look at the resume. But for all purposes, your resume is the holy grail. That's what's going to be seen first. And the reason I bring this up is because, yes, your introductory paragraph needs to be on your resume. But this is the thing. You can't be making it like a whole paragraph. Like, you got to make that short and sweet.
Yeah. A couple sentences.
2-3 sentences. Like, that's all. That's all you really need, because you're going to take room up for the rest of your resume. That has to be there, because the introductory paragraph on your resume is going to tell that person what you're trying to do. If you just go straight into your resume, I don't know what you want to do, because nobody really has. If you were a banker at a bank, you're not just going to have all banking experience. Your resume is going to show you your track record of what you've done. And that's the one thing I want to tell people, is that your resume is not just saying that you've worked these jobs. It's trying to tell the person that I am competent in this field. Whatever field you're going for that you put in your introductory paragraph, and based on these skill sets that I've done, I'm able to learn other skill sets because I know these. So I'll give you one example before I let you go. People always come to me and say, "Oh, you know, PLC systems, DCS systems, and these electrical engineering terms, things like that. And I say, yeah, I do, but I need to understand how this your company uses the equipment that I know. So just because you have this stuff on your resume doesn't mean you're going to be able to translate to how this business uses this information. So that's why you need to have the paragraph or the sentences in your introductory that tell what you're going to do, what you're going for, and let the resume say how competent you are to it.
Yeah. And what I would say is, you know, I've never hired anybody because of how impressive that cover letter is, but I have been impressed by the cover letter itself.
Just because you took the effort.
Right. What I mean by that is exactly just like that. I look at the cover letter. I say, this person's went over and beyond. This person's, it just gives more of a professional feel. You went over and beyond, right? So that does give you some style points, and that does help the overall. You understand what I'm saying? But I have never just hired somebody because of the cover letter. Now, a pretty decent cover letter makes me want to hurry up and dig into your resume, because I'm like, okay, that's how we coming. You know what I'm saying? Let me see what you really about. You know what I'm saying? It really does that. So for sure, don't scrap the cover letter. Have a good cover letter. There's value in the cover letter. But the real meat, and you know what I'm saying? The real meat of the thing is the resume, because that's going to get you in the door. That's going to get you to the interview process. So my mama says something about they have scanners now to look for the words resume. Yeah. So like, it kind of goes to what we were talking about the other day, like AI, right? They have different things now where to kind of dwindle out, like to narrow candidates down. So if you don't meet that bare minimum requirement, or you don't fill out something, or they're looking for something specifically, it's able to filter out those people who don't have that specific skill set that they're looking for.
So that's called an applicant tracking system.
Yes.
So it's a technology that basically, when you fill out the application, it'll send it through this applicant tracking system. And based on what the keywords, it'll pull out all the keywords and it'll compare it to the job description. So the more keywords you have that match the job description, you're automatically going to get passed through. That's how that works.
Which goes back to what I was saying, right?
It's easy to get an interview nowadays.
That open book test. Match those words that they give you in the job description.
Tell people.
Put them words in that resume. And when they put it into that system, boom, it's going to go ding, 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 ding. He's a match. He's got 12 skills that match. She's got 12. It's really like that.
It's really easy. I mean, that's why I tell people that this is my analogy for this. I always told people, when you think about like high school sports, people always think it's hard to get to the NBA or to the NFL. And I try to tell people, if you sit back and realize it, no, the hard part is getting to college. Understand what I'm saying? Because when you get to college, if you are blessed to get to college, you have a better opportunity of getting to play professionally. And I say this because, think about it. Mostly all of the scouts, like so college, you're playing on a higher platform. You're playing against the best of the best, right? In college, people who are able to go to college. Yep. If you can get to that point and actually be very good and just so end up like making it to a championship game or something, I'm telling you, I've seen it. You're more likely to go pro in that sense. And I bring this up because for this simple fact, if you are able to tailor your resume to exactly what the job description says, you're going to get an interview. And too many people, they just pass the same resume through the same 99 companies. That's why you're not getting called back. Once you, that's why we always say, like, get on first base. If I get the interview, that's all I'm asking for. I need to talk to a real person.
I just got to get in the door. Right. I got to get in the door. I got to get in front of somebody. Right. So, we touched on the resume. I know we spent a little time last time on being on time, the importance of being on time.
We just talked about that like couple hours ago, right? Let's bring that up. So
yeah.
you got somebody, if you if y'all got something going on, right? If you starting a new venture, if you doing, usually might start you a new food truck, right? You might be delivering plates door to door. You might be doing lashes, eyelashes and stuff, right? This is how you spot a dry hater. Oh, yeah, so-and-so got a little lash. They got a little lash business. Yeah, he got a little barbershop he doing. Yeah, he bought a little Mercedes-Benz. If they start their sentence off with little, they call it hating on you.
They call it everything you doing little.
They got hating little, on you.
You got a little side hustle. You got a little business. Side,
yeah, a little business.
Yeah, you got a little, you got a little hating podcast on going on. You got a little.
Yeah. Man. So that's why we bring that up. And you might talk about this. I being on time, dude. That's so. Go ahead.
Listen, I'm just saying. I've never. All right, put it this way. And I kind of alluded to it in an episode, but I've literally seen people that were supposed to get the job, right? I've literally been on the other side of it because it's politics and business. Everybody who handles business know that. It's about who you know. So I've been in those rooms where they're like, yeah, so-and-so, so-and-so. Basically, all the person had to do was come in there and just talk because we already knew we wanted you. You were the preferred candidate. But that person came late. Come in with an excuse, maybe a real thing that happened, but if we're talking business, it's an excuse. They don't care if they don't care if your dog died. They don't care if your kid got sick. They don't care if you caught a flat tire. They don't care if you ran into traffic. They don't care. I've never hired anybody that didn't show up on time because there's only two real times. I mean, you kind of talked about that before. It's either you're on time or you're late. Early or late, put it that way. Early or late, like, I've you know, I showed up 30 minutes, 45 minutes before. I sit in the parking lot. I've watched the hiring managers walk in for jobs that I wanted. You get what I'm saying? Then I give them a few minutes to get settled, and I buzz the buzzer right behind them. You know what I mean? I sit out in the lobby. Just so you know, I'm there. I'm just going over some notes. You guys take your time. Just know I'm here. You know what I'm saying? I've never seen somebody late, bro, and get the job. So get the time zones right. I've seen people screw up on that. So if your job is on Central Standard Time or Eastern Standard Time, people screw that up and you end up an hour late. Or if it's on the West Coast, then you might be 2-3 hours late. Get all of that right, because I'm telling you, you're going to shoot yourself in the foot and you may miss an opportunity for something that you've probably worked really hard for, but the last minute you done tweaked. That's exactly what it's tweak. And you tweak it and you're going to mess it up for yourself. So, you know. Yeah. Just the importance of being on time. And if you practice being on time with your everyday life, I'm very punctual with time. My family will tell you about that. Like, I'm talking, bro, down to the minute, I am, like, punctual. You know, it's because I understand time doesn't work the way I want it to work. You understand what I'm saying? So I don't just be on time for work. I'm on time for everything in my life. So it kind of just all kind of rolls together. But if you practice being late or think that it's okay to be late, on this side of your life, but it's gonna tie into your career and everything else. I don't know nothing good that comes from being late. You know what I'm saying? Just people think you're lazy, people think you're an excuse maker. It's always something down that road. I'm not that kind of guy. So, you know, but what's your thoughts on it?
I don't already got on my soapbox about being late. I hate it. And I don't want to keep like saying this, but black people got a problem with this. That's why it's called colored people time. This is an issue. We think that showing up on time is on time, and it's not. You're late. And we shoot ourselves in the foot every time we do this. And it don't matter. It doesn't matter if we just talking about a job. We talking about showing up late to your kids, bringing your kids to practice for whatever practice it is. Showing up late to your barbershop appointment. Let me get on this, because I'll just leave it at this. So listen, I want people to understand about this about barbers, okay? If you have a barber that's running a business, that person is running the business. Just like if you go get your nails done or something. This is why you should be on time. Because listen, when you set your appointment, I got an appointment at 11 a.m., right, on Saturday, okay? So that means that if I don't get there at 11 a.m., this person, this barber, he's either going to do one of two things. He's either going to wait for me to come, and when I actually arrive 15 minutes late, okay, the haircut probably take 30 minutes. Okay, so that means that You show up at 11:15. Your appointment was at 11. So now the barber is going to rush your haircut. He's going to rush it to finish it on time because his next client starts at 11:45. Okay.
It's going to be crazy.
Okay? So now when he finished cutting your hair, you're not going to be excited about your haircut because he rushed it. You know when a barber rushes it. You know when somebody's doing your nails. You know when they rush it. You feel it. Everything you feel about it is rushed, right?
Yeah.
So you did that to yourself. So now, why is he rushing? Okay, so he might do that. He might wait on you. The second thing, he might just take another client. Okay, so now he took this other client who's now 11:30 and it's into your time. Your lineup, your haircut time just got pushed back. But it's not just your time. It's the barber's time too. So guess what? Because you were late and you probably not the only one, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, the next person, 10 minutes late. Now he an hour behind. So now he cutting everybody here fast until he decide himself he wanted to slow down. Now his client's like, I had an appointment for 2:30. It's 3:30. I'm still in here. And I got two people in front of me. You don't understand the domino effect it has on. It's not just you. When you go into an interview, when you go into anything, you showing up late that you're supposed to be to, you messing up other people's time. One of the things I hate the most is that if I plan for something, how I'm trying to be on time, I put all my effort in to preparing to be on time before time, and then you come late and it affects me and it essentially makes me late for what I'm doing. I hate that. Yeah. So now I lose respect for you. So that's what you're doing. And you as a person, your characteristics is what is all you have to hang on to. In the business world, I've seen people get more opportunities just because they were there on time versus a person who had everything that was needed, but you couldn't count on them. So I'm going to take the person who I know is going to be there on time. So that's what I'm telling you. This timing thing, it kills us with everything. That's why when we talk about stocks and everything, black people, we show up late to the party because we want to sit there and we don't want to do it. And then when the time comes, y'all heard about that. It's too late. You too late. It is a disease being late all the time. It's a life-changing thing. You're always late. You're late to everything. You ain't getting nothing.
Hey, I get upset when I'm late, bro. I get upset. You guys, Alex, I get upset. We late for anything. You know, and I would say this. So even with like my landscaping business, everything I've had, you know, I've been able to. Okay, let me back it up. So with my landscaping business, outside of my corporate job, I had to figure out a way when I moved to Indianapolis to create a niche for myself, create my own lane. Right. And, you know, it's Hispanics that cutting grass. You got other people out here cutting grass. How can I make a name for myself? So what I did was my niche is my professionalism on top of my skill set, right?
That's it's a part of my skill set. Irrelevant.
So, you know, to the uniforms, to the equipment that runs well, to my truck, how everything's clean, how I just go about everything, but also how I keep my schedule, how I make it easy for the customers. You understand what I'm saying? That's how I've been able to get some of these high dollar contracts, some of these celebrity contracts. You understand what I'm saying? Because you almost can put it down to the T, to the minute, where I'm going to pull up every week, every two, whatever that is. You understand what I'm saying? And I haven't made excuses. I remember one time, one of my pickup trucks, one of the engines messed up. Boy, I went to U-Haul and rented a truck. A pickup truck to pull up my trailer and get my, like, customer don't need to know about that. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm telling you, I practice being on time for everything. I don't take it lightly. So, you know, just tell everybody, man, just no matter if you got to get up earlier, whatever it is, practice being on time. If you want to see a difference in your life, or you want to make a great impression, or you really want to give yourself a fighting chance outside of maybe some of the other stuff that's already working against you, being on time. Sure.
People would be surprised how many opportunities they get by just being on time to things. Show up early to some things, and you'd be surprised what you get yourself into. But
this is apple juice, by the way.
But listen,
text me some other stuff. This is apple juice.
But listen, I want to teach some people how to really get in the game and how to get jobs. So let's say you in the market right now for a new job, right?
Right.
We done told you everything from being on time to your resume, right? And we told you if you want to put the icing on the cake, you really want to get in the door, the cover letter. And we gonna mention the interview, right? We need to explain how, again, I guess how you walk them down in the interview, right? And I'll let you do that. But I want to tell you that after you do the interview, the process doesn't stop there. And this is where a lot of people mess up. After your interview, it's not all done. There's a couple of things you got to do to set yourself apart. For one, you got to send that thank you email. You know, you have to reiterate what you know about the company, what they talked about, and you actually have to give them a thank you and show that you're ready to do the job. Like, you have to show them, like, yes, I'm confident that I did good in that interview, and I think I can really help you based on what we discussed, right? And yeah, this is one more trick that I usually do. Again, you have to use social media to your advantage. Look up the CEO. Look up the hiring manager for, if you know that person, look up the hiring manager, or look up somebody like a VP or somebody. Because listen, I'm gonna tell you like this. If I want to go to what's something that people know? If I want to go to a famous restaurant, right? Okay. And in order to get into that famous restaurant, I got to go through the bouncer. Okay. And what if I wanted to sell something in that restaurant? What if I noticed they wasn't selling peach cobbler at the door? Like, when people, after they finish eating, they ain't got no desserts, right? You think I need to ask the bouncer, hey, let me get in here, let me ask the, or the manager who on deck, let me talk to the manager, let me see if I can get my peach cobbler here? No. You got to go talk to the owner. You understand what I'm saying? So when you want these jobs, go find somebody like that's a C-suite executive. Guess what? They got email addresses. They're not off the hook. They're not untouchable. If you talk to that person, send them an email and say how interested you in for this position and you just interviewed for it, guess what? They're going to talk to the person who's supposed to be hiring you, and whether they like you or not, they got that CEO, that C-suite executive got the upper hand over them. They ain't got no choice but to hire you. See what I'm saying? And if all things, and you know, you've been through this before. Yeah. Sometimes it goes the opposite way. Sometimes it's like some people won't stick their neck out for you. But again, if it's for you, then it will happen. But you have to give yourself a fighting chance to get in there, because again, you're not just fighting against regular people. You're fighting against computers, applicant tracking systems. You got to do something above and beyond the normal means to get the job. Jobs don't come easy. I don't care who you talking to.
So, I mean, to piggyback off of that, you know what I mean? Here's some things that I've, you know, we talk about the interview, because now we at the interview part of it, right? Now we're actually talking about now you've earned it. You've got the resume down pack. Now you're in the door. Now this is your shot, right? First thing I think about is doing your homework on the company. And again, the things we're talking about are things that has worked for us. And it works for a lot of people, to be honest with you. This is actually how it goes. This is not really opinion based. This is facts. Do your homework on the company. You should be able to tell the company, you know what I mean? This is all public information. This is all on the internet. You should be able to, before they can get to talking about, you know, trying to tell you 10, 15, 20 minutes or just trying to educate you on the things, you should be educating them. Oh, I know the company started in 1975. You went through this in 1985. In 1992, you guys changed your name to this, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And you sold this half off and blah, blah, blah. This is all public stuff, right? So that impresses the employer. So we think of the things that just stand out to go over and beyond, right? But we also go talk about the basic stuff too. Like my mama put right there, dress for the job.
But hold on. You ever been in an interview and you understand, you or you ever been in a restaurant and somebody was just happened to know your name. Maybe you had a name tag on, whatever it is. You know how like thrilling it is for somebody to be like, "Hey, Greg, how you doing?" You like, how you know my name? How you something about that? So in the interview, if you can find something about that person that about them, and you bring that up, then oh, this guy, yeah.
So it goes into the doing the homework on the company, right? So if that, so when they tell you, like I've said before, who's your hiring manager, or maybe that panel, who's that panel? I've done that. I've looked up everybody on the panel. I've Googled them. The same way you can look at my Facebook account, so you can Google me and all that stuff. I do the same thing to them. And I connect the dots for all of it. I could tell them where they went to school at. I mean, it's worked for me. I've literally had took the words out of a guy's mouth because I was able to tell him, and he was, and I've said this before, he was out of the country. He's from Brazil, to be specific. And I was able to tell him the high school, college, and the roles that he had in Brazil before he transferred over to the United States, and just walk him through that whole thing. And that's what when we talk about that term, walk him down in the interview. So, you know, the panel has a way, they don't see this stuff coming. They don't see, you know, and I'm telling you, every time I've done it, they never see it coming. They have a way where we think that this interview is going to go, right? We're going to ask these couple of questions. We're going to give you a little history on what we're looking for or whatever. We're going to, no. But so if I got five people in front of me and I've done my homework on all five of them, and I'm telling every single one of y'all something about yourself, something about you've done with the company, I'm connecting the dots for you. I'm touching you personally, right? And I'm also giving you chances to speak about yourself too, which comes at towards the end of the interview, where always asking questions. That goes to another thing in the interview. Always ask questions. I literally have never hired anybody who didn't have questions for me for a job that they never had before. How don't you have some questions written down? That shows that, you know what I mean? Kind of you're not paying attention, or you're just lazy. It wasn't well thought out. You know what I mean? I've never hired somebody who doesn't have, I don't care how good I explain the job to you, you got to have some questions for me. And the hygiene of it. It sounds like, whoa, you don't got to talk about hygiene. I've seen, make sure that you are giving the best impression of yourself. No matter if you got to go get your hair done, you got to cut your own hair, whatever you got to do, whatever. And I don't care what that job is for, because in a lot of roles, bro, I've overdressed. I've outdressed everybody in any interview I've ever had. I promise you that. Now that I'm thinking about it, I've never had an interview where I wasn't the best dressed in the room.
Well, you have to.
You have to. I have to. I look at it like that. They say, well, wow. Wow, look at you. I've heard it all. Look at you. Exactly. Look at me.
They wouldn't say that to you if you never
mind. No. Yeah, right. But you know what? We got to come like that. We got to come like that, because guess what? When we don't shave our faces and our hair isn't right, or our clothes are wrinkled or whatever else, it gets taken completely different.
So let me go right there. This is why, and like I told you how we was when you was here, and I was just looking around, and I had on my Jordans.
Yeah.
I had on my Jordans. I had on something else. And I'm just looking. I'm just going to say it like it is. Us black people, and I'm talking about us black people, it is very depressing to see us black people, how we operate outside with the things we wear. We will wear the most designer that man has ever made. We'll be a walking billboard. Gucci this, Louis this, Jordan that. And struggling when we get on a trip to Miami or somewhere. Can't pay for this, can't pay for that. We'll struggle with not having a reliable car. We'll struggle with not being able to go out to just have dinner with some friends. We'll struggle with everything, but we choose to dress like this. And this is why people don't realize this stuff. This is why people who really trying to be out here and be like great citizens and make business moves, be able to take seats at the table with these people. This is why we got to come in full piece suits to basic stuff. We can't even go to a ball game without somebody looking at us crazy because we got a baseball cap on. We had an MLB game, because We look like everybody else. Who they can't turn off the switch like we can. We know if me and you put on the hoodie, we don't mean no malice, but if we walking down the street like Trayvon Martin, somebody else see us who ain't our race, they gonna think we just like everybody else trying to rob. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So when we dress, and so when you as a person, even though you fresh, you got on fresh kicks, fresh this and that, you fresh, you clean, but to you, but to them people, you look like just anybody else who will be out here doing something wrong. This is why me, myself, I told you that day, I said, I'm not dressing like this no more. Well, I tell you like 2 weeks ago, I'm not dressing like this no more. Every time out, you're not going to see me like that because you're automatically putting yourself in that category. Just like dreads. There's nothing wrong with dreads, right? But because they making these songs about dreadhead, this and that, and shooting people, like now, when you go out, you done got your dreads done up, you neat and everything, lining, you still associated with the people who doing foolishness with the dreads. That's why it's so important that your appearance, that's why he talking about hygiene and what you wearing, how you looking, how you smelling, because it totally matters for us. We ain't got no choice but to do it. I want to tell all y'all out there who think you could just show up and when you on Zoom call because you see your peer with a t-shirt on, you can't do that.
Yep. No,
you can't do none of that. You got to be dressed to impress at all times because you being judged harder than they is.
Yep. Yep. So it's judged 50 times harder than everybody else. I've even in my current role, it's pretty relaxed. You know what I'm saying? But I don't go to work. You don't see me go to work without a collar shirt on.
No,
I'm always wearing slacks, you know, and at least once, maybe twice a week, I wear a tie. And people, wow, man, you're out dressing us and you're just in the third or whatever.
Yeah, listen, I am.
I am, and I'm going to, because I'm telling you, and I've said this before, as soon as you see me outside of work, you see me in some recreational clothes, it gets graded completely different. When I have a t-shirt on at a ball game and a hat, matter of fact, I had two clients that we took to the Pacers game.
Yeah, tell them about that.
Courtside tickets, and they're guests of mine, courtside tickets, right? And I told Alex, you know, we're sitting at home, and she's like, what's up with your, you know, you keep going through all these different outfits. I'm like, man, but I want to be comfortable tonight. It's going to be hot in there. I don't want to be sweating. I don't want to wear too much. I'm like, man, what am I going to wear? What am I going to wear? I'm like, you know what? Skip it. All right. I'm overthinking. I'm like, all right, I'm going to just wear this t-shirt and this baseball cap. Wear the baseball cap, t-shirt. My clients didn't even almost know who I was. They were almost walk right past me. Oh, Greg. I didn't notice you. I didn't recognize you. Whatever. I'm like,
take you for the type to wear that. That's what they said to you.
I'm wearing a ball cap to a ball game. That's what's so weird about it. Don't make it weird. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to wear a suit to a game. Like, it's hot in here and you're my guest. So come on down. Let's sit down. Let's get these courtside seats. But it was that. And she looked at me. She was like, wow, that's what you got to deal with. I was like, you have no idea. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Listen. That's why I keep my facial hair lined up, everything, because I understand the rules and I understand that it's not an even playing field, right? So
even like with women though, hold on. Like women, you gotta be cautious because y'all feel like y'all can't get these certain jobs, or you feel like you own this job and you know you better than this person that's next to you, who getting all this praise. You done more than this person. You don't been here before this person. You got more seniority. You got more credentials. But why does she keep getting all the accolades in the just the enhancements in the job? Because you don't realize it though. Because our culture accepts it. Your fingernails, they don't like the color of your nails. First of all, if you got any color, they're gonna scrutinize you anyway. Color your nails, they don't like your hair. They think like they try to change your hair, just like CJ Stroud. They told that man, like they was talking about his hair. They talk about Jay-Z kids' hair. Like they do this. I don't care if we wearing glasses with the gold in our frame. Like anything we do, we're gonna be judged on it. So you need to really take note of what you're doing. Sometimes you have to fit in. I know about this, but sometimes you gotta fit in just a little bit to get on top. When you get there, then you can start moving around, calling shots how you want it. But like, you gotta get in the door somehow. Sometimes you gotta play that game.
Well, bigger than anything, you definitely got to play the game. You got to play the game to win. And this is coming from, you know what I mean? I've never let my appearance stop me from progressing, right? Remember we had braids and everything?
Yeah.
And I wish Koontz was on here tonight. But I remember when we were selling newspapers and everything, we would go to like the really rich suburbs in Chicago, like in Illinois, different parts of it. And, you know, that's when I had the braids and everything back then, bro. And that's when, you know what I'm saying? We was dressing how we was dressing. We didn't really have a, you know, we was just wearing what everybody else was wearing. But I never let that stop me. But I'll tell you what, I do remember when I did cut my braids off, there was a noticeable difference on how people treated me.
Yes.
And handled me. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I did notice that. But now in corporate America, you look at it, bro, we got, you know, all the tattoos and everything, and I don't cover them up. I don't hide them at all. But I got them. I got more and more over time, though, right? Once I actually got in the door and got some real skills about myself, then I got more and more.
You ain't have them covered up. You had them covered up initially. That's the point.
Of course, of course.
See what I'm saying?
Of course, of
course. We're not going to no interview, like, you know what I'm saying?
No.
What about when you wear that, like you just, the story you just told about that hat? I bet you if like me, if I wear a cowboy hat out here, totally different respect. I promise you, like, man, it's so much different respect when I wear a cowboy hat versus a fitted hat. I'm a villain when I wear a fitted hat. That's the experience you had, that Pacers game.
Yeah. Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Because, yeah, when they usually see me at work, I don't have a hat on. I don't just walk around wearing ball caps at work. You know what I'm saying? Usually just see me with a clean shave and face and everything. So, but hold on. I got a couple more things I want to talk about because we still talking about the interview, y'all. And that was a part of hygiene. We talk about connecting the dots for the hiring managers, right, in the interview. So while you're talking to the hiring manager, you should be – that you already know what the job description is. So while you're talking, you should be talking in a way to where you're connecting your skill set to what they're looking for so that, you know what I mean? So if they say, hey, I'm looking for somebody that's results driven, let's talk about some results that you've driven. If we're talking about we problem solving, talk about some problems that you've solved. I mean, like, tie them. They're giving you, it's an open book test. Do not overthink it. They have to tell you what they want. They have to put out on the computer in the job descriptions what they want. You understand what I'm saying? So connect those dots. I said, always ask questions at the end. But listen, the questions that you do answer, make sure you answer questions confidently. I didn't get a job one time, right? And I took the feedback. Always take the feedback. I took the feedback afterwards. And the manager told me, man, you're this, man, you're that, man, you're this. This was early in my career. This was actually right out of college. You're this, you're that, you're this, you're that, you're this, you're that. He said, but you were unsure when you were talking to me. He said, you gave the right answer, but you wasn't confident. He said, you kept revisiting it and asking me, was that good enough and stuff like that. He was like, no, be confident with what you said and move forward in interviews. And that was... And he was just honest with me. That's why I didn't get it. So be confident. Once you're speaking to in your interview, everything that you're saying, be confident because people could tell if you're not confident in the things you're saying. They're not going to believe you. What they say, said for business meetings, here's the bun. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to be honest. I learned a lot of stuff when it comes to interviewing through experience, but it started by me taking advantage of the career counseling placement department at Kentucky State University, where we did mock trial interviews. They taught me interview etiquette, resumes, and things of that nature. So I really took advantage of the tools that I had, and I honed in on it, and the rest of it was just experience. And I feel like we both know some of this stuff because things have worked for us. And then sometimes, in some cases, it didn't work out for us, but we still learned why it didn't work out for us. You know what I'm saying? But then ultimately, what I'm getting from what we said today, too, is knowing the game and how to play the game, right? It's not a sellout move because you cut your beard down a little bit or whatever else. No, that's not selling out. You know what I'm saying? That's not selling out at all.
I want to tell people this.
Go ahead.
No, finish your statement.
No, I'm just saying I'm just saying it ain't selling out.
This is what I want to tell people. If I told you I'm gonna pay you $2 million, but you gotta cut your facial hair off and you gotta tuck your shirt in at all times, you're gonna do that, right?
Yes.
It's just, so this is the thing about it. Most people, because they're not told things up front in a direct manner like that, they feel as if like it doesn't apply, but you got to read between the lines. Let me tell some people a few things, because I learned this recently. Anybody who watch baseball, GY, you watch baseball.
Yeah.
You know about the New York Yankees, right?
Yeah.
You ever see all their facial hair?
They got to have a clean shave.
Okay. Most people don't know this. The MLB team, that players getting paid millions of dollars to be in their ball club, you cannot have no facial hair except for a mustache. They'll let you have that. It's called like a bronze bomb or something, whatever it's called. But clean shaving, like military, like you got, they're not allowed to have no facial hair in their ball club.
Sideburns can only be like as long,
yes,
as far as the earlobe. Yeah.
No flags or nothing. Like, it's jersey, clean shaving. You understand what I'm saying? This is what I mean by people. Sometimes you have to play the game to get to where you need to be. Like, you got to do it. Like, this is like when I used to tell people about smoking. If the company don't want you to smoke weed, they're going to drug test. You got to respect that rule. You don't call the rules right now. And that's where I think a lot of people get in trouble. We make our own rules, but try to get paid under somebody else's house. You can't do that. No. If you want to get paid, understand what they ask for on the resume. Tailor your resume to it. Be on time, that time that they tell you to be on, and perform in the interview.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it is very positive, powerful too. So, and I want everybody to understand, again, this was earn the job. Nothing's going to be given to you. You're going to have to earn it. You're going to have to be a disruptor. You're going to have to go over and beyond. You're going to have to create some wow factors in order to get these high paying jobs. You can't just come in there, hey, I'm a hard worker, I did that and a third. Everybody's gonna say that. What are you gonna say about your hard work? What results have you driven and you're able to articulate about the hard work that you've performed? You understand what I mean? And not only are you working hard, are you working smart? So I just want people to start thinking on another level, if you wanna get to that level. And I think that's, you know, the people that chime in, the people that come in, they're ready to take that step. They're ready to reach their highest potential. And these are some of the things, right? So these are just some tricks now and tips that's worked for us. You could, through your experience and research, there's other tips and tricks out there that people do. I look up different things all the time because I want to stay sharp, right? Because you're not interviewing every day. So I want to stay in tune with the times and how to conduct the interview and what that looks like and what it's looking for. So stay sharp. But you know, the resume and being on time in the interviews, I mean, it's too powerful. And if you know, you want to go back into a deeper dive of this, because this was more of just a free conversation, like a freelancing conversation back and forth. But you know, the actual episode that we have is on, a full episode is on our YouTube page. So make sure that you go and check that out. And again, if you got any questions at any time, make sure that you reach out to us, ask us, and you know, we love to help. I'm batting 1,000 right now, bro, on helping people get jobs. Like, I haven't helped someone and they haven't got the job that they wanted. I've walked people through mock trial interviews. I've done that because I look at it, if you could get past me, you could get past an employer. You understand what I'm saying? Because I know what they're looking like. I know what they're looking for. And, you know, so we open to stuff like that. So, you know what I'm saying? But outside of that, bro, I think, you know what I'm saying, earn the job. The live session went well today.
Yeah, I truly believe that if people earn the job, they don't think that you have to know people, but you got to put in the work too. So application after application after application, and then application after application after application. You cannot get discouraged. And I'm just telling you, that's how I landed my big jobs, and there wasn't no shortcut. So it's up to you at the end of the day. And I just want people to stop waiting on it and go get it.
Yeah, most definitely. Get y'all minds right, and we'll see y'all next week. We'll be back at the same time. But without further ado, this is All Your Redemption Podcast, and back at it with another one. Make sure y'all like, share, subscribe. Tell somebody to come on in with you next week, because we got some more hot stuff for you next week. So catch y'all, and we like to hear y'all put some of this stuff into perspective and see how it's working for you. But it's your boy G White. I'm out.
Big speaker.
Let's go.